Timothy chapter 5, 1 Timothy chapter 5. We're going to continue on the message that we began last week. And I love the Bible. If you try and strive, and we can never do anything perfectly. We have a perfect Savior that until we discard this flesh, we will battle, we will struggle. But I love the Bible that it's different kinds of messages that we've been having because of the text. And just a few weeks ago, we talked about how to handle conflict and confrontation with one another, those older, those younger, those of a different gender. Then last week, we really saw, I think, in the Scriptures, and I'm encouraged, always remember this, that if you leave encouraged, blessed, challenged, it's of the Lord, it's of His truth, it's not of the preacher. And we talked about honoring widows, and it's one of those neglected groups of people. We searched the Scriptures and saw how important that is to God. And we talked about just our responsibility. So again, just in real quick review, it's the point of first defense is family. And so, you know, along with my other, I have sisters, and so the responsibility for my mother is me and my sisters, and responsibility for my mother-in-law is me, my wife, and her siblings, and so it's important. But there's a place where the church gets involved and where we help and we're a blessing, and so we talked about that great privilege. And this is important. Leon had a rough day yesterday. It shook him to his core. And you just remember Leon in prayer. And I know remember Sherry in prayer as well. But she had these two seizures. And one, he was with her in the evening. It was violent. 20 minutes. Just disturbing, right? It'll shake you to your core when your loved one goes through that. But I was reminding Leon and anyone else, what a great privilege. You are honoring Jesus Christ. And do you love that in verse 4? Do you see when we take care of our widows, our mothers, our mother-in-laws, our grandmothers, it says at the end of verse 4, that is good and acceptable before God. Sometimes we get so glorious in what is pleasing to the King, right? We talked about that on Wednesday night. I believe that to sum up the Christian life, it's how do we please God and how do we bring glory to Him? That's, I think, the twofold kind of purpose, and there's many things we can do. And I believe that the preeminent way is the gospel. Let's just be clear, it's the gospel. But we're also serving the Lord. You're serving the Lord when you help your dear wife. She doesn't always know it's you. Then you get a gift every so often, not as often as you'd like, where she remembers you. Hi, honey. She'll say, I love you. Just those few words. And so just remember this. When you're not getting those words, you're honoring Christ. Sometimes you feel like your life's dominated by that, don't you? But you're honoring Christ. You're honoring your wife. But even greater than that, you're honoring Christ. Now, this morning, what we're going to look at verses 9 through 16. We really didn't focus on this aspect of it. But the Bible deals with good widows and bad widows. I said evil widows on the screen. It all depends on my mood when I'm writing the notes, right? So I don't know why good versus evil, but there is a description. And so we're going to talk about women again today. But I want all the men to understand this. This is for you. So all of the single men, you should take these qualities and say, these are the kind of qualities that I would want to find in a wife. Does she have these kind of qualities, right? All of the husbands, you want to help your wives to have the ability, the time, the focus. What is it that we pound on our families? What would they say is the most important thing in our lives? Is it money? Are we always complaining about money? Or really are we helping our wives know that these kind of characteristics are the priorities and they're above all else, not money, not anything else. And so it'll be great for all of us to see that. Now, before I, I jump in, I also want to give you a couple of things. It's one, this is important. How many of you have ever met mean old people? You're getting mad. It's like, well, I'm about to share something to you. Get your pens out because this is important. This is important. It is, you only get this here, right? I'm convinced as I've watched life, mean old people come from mean young people. You want to be a godly old person. You want to be a godly widow. You want to be a godly widower. You want to be a servant that has a spirit that would have the spirit of Christ. Then you better now. If you're a mean old cuss, a mean old snake today, then you're going to be meaner when you get old. Because life just gets harder. Body falls apart. It's a simple principle. If you're mean now, you ain't seen nothing yet. You want to be a godly widow. You better start practicing it now. It doesn't magically happen when your husband passes away or your wife passes away. It begins now. There's another principle that is evident in this passage that I want you to understand, and it's kind of shocking to people today. There is a thought today that God treats and doesn't bless others and doesn't bless people differently. I want you to know this. God tells His churches, I'm going to tell you what kind of widows that you should take into your care. He's going to give characteristics of these widows. He says, these are the kind of widows that you should help. And when we talk about the evil, the bad widows, He says, let them go. Don't help them. That's kind of seems to be new news to people nowadays, because we all seem to think God's an equal opportunity employer that kind of just treats everybody the same. I want to tell you this. If you want God's blessings, then honor Him. Now, I want to tell you, that's different than grace. We need abundant grace. That's unmerited favor. Salvation has nothing to do with our obedience, has nothing to do with us. It all has to do with God's grace through faith, right? It's He gives us the righteousness of Christ when we repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want you to know there is a place where sometimes you might look and say, wow, looks like God's treating them differently. Maybe it's because they've been faithful. I tell you that only to just, that should be a no duh, right? There's going to be a difference of rewards in heaven. There'll be some that are yet saved as by fire. They really don't have many works to show. So when their works are tried by fire, you see, we won't be judged according to our sin for believers. Believers, our works, our service to Jesus will be judged, and it'll be judged by fire, because fire gets rid of all the impurities and it just leaves bare those things that are eternal, those things that are gold, precious metal, and precious stones. And the Bible says there'll be some saved yet as by fire. And so it's important for you just to understand that simple principle. God is merciful and we need His mercy. There's not one person in here that deserves the goodness of God. And so, but I also want to tell you a simple principle. You want God's blessings. Honor Him with simple obedience. The Bible's not rocket science. It's so different than the way we think, but don't you love the simplicity of it? If you need God's blessings today, then examine your life and say, well, how can I honor Him? Well, let's jump into the Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. I want us to read verse 9 through 16, and then we'll look at these characteristics. It begins in verse 9, where through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Paul is writing to this church, or is writing to Timothy, who's the pastor of the church of Ephesus. He's writing here and telling Timothy what kind of widow in what are the qualifications of a widow that a church should take on the financial responsibility for, and that's a big deal. Verse 9 says, let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years old. So he said, don't take on the financial responsibility for any widow under 60 years old. Having been the wife of one man, again, it is, if you ask me, again, polygamy at this time was a big deal, and you know, it's dealing with widows that married God's way, right? One man, one woman. And so he's saying, not under 60 years old, having been the wife of one man, because the only way you could be a widow is you had to be married. And so verse 10, now he gets into the crux of the matter. He says, well reported of for good works. And now he goes into detail. If she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she have relieved the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work. Those are the elements we're going to focus on today of the good widows. And we're going to put them in ways, I think, that will help you understand. And what does that look like in 2018 in the 21st century? But now let's look at verse 11. But the younger widows refuse. Don't bring them under the care of the financial responsibilities of the church. But the younger widows refuse. For when they have begun to wax wanton or just desirous of the world or wax wanton against Christ, they will marry. Having damnation, this looks like these widows will prove that they really weren't Christians. We'll talk about that. Because they have cast off their first faith. Verse 13, these are some of the continued negative attributes of an evil widow, bad widow. And withal, they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also in busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully, for some are already turned aside after Satan. If any man or woman that believeth have widows. So Christian, if you have any widows in your family, you relieve them. You provide for them. Let not the church be charged that it may relieve them that are widows indeed. So title of the message this morning, Godly versus Evil Widows. Now let's look at the godly widows here in verse 10. And so it says in verse 10, so, you know, just the broad characteristics that were given here. Paul was instructing Timothy, don't take a widow under 60. You know, a widow that has followed God's plan of marriage, having been the wife of one man. It says in verse 10, well reported of for good works. And so it shouldn't be a shock. The widows that Paul was recommending for Timothy are, these are the kind of widows that everybody knows. They love God. They're well reported of. It's like, wow, that's a godly woman. That's a woman that loves God. That's a woman that honors the Lord. It's this is important. It's not that you have to go blow your own horn. It's when you serve the Lord and when I serve the Lord, everybody will see it. And you know, we have that balance that we want our good works to shine, that God may be glorified. Always remember this. Everything we do, we need to really grasp this, right? It's everything we do, it should be with God's glory in mind. And when people see a widow that is godly, that honors the Lord, it's unique. That has a spirit that is unique, and it will have an impact. People watch. Other younger women watch. Other girls watch, and so we're going to see these characteristics. But the first one is this. It says, if she have brought up children. I just summed that up, and I said, she loves children. She loves children. Now, can I take you over to Titus chapter 2. 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus. So it's right there, not far. I want to show you here just some instruction for women. And so I also want to tell you this, God has different roles for men and women. But I want to tell you that the Bible speaks of, I could take you to Galatians and others, that it says that men and women are equal heirs in Christ. Isn't that good? There's no inheritance that will be different with men and women. God says we're equal heirs. But God has different roles for us. You know, I joke with folks, but it is absolutely the easiest way to describe that is one difference between men and women is women will have babies and men can't. And you say, oh, okay, no duh, but everything with God's design for women is different than men. I know we have two eyes, a nose, and a mouth, but it's completely different. And it was designed that way. And it was beautifully designed that way. And I want to encourage our ladies to delight in God's design. And one of the designs of God is, ladies, you are uniquely equipped, and this doesn't remove the responsibility of men. You are uniquely equipped to nurture and love and care for children. Do we not see in our day and age today is the evil of men when it comes to children many times? That doesn't implicate all the men in this room, but I want to tell you this. God's plan, especially, is that women would be the front place for with children. And I know other churches sometimes, because the nursery is one of the most difficult places in the world to staff, right, or to get people to do it. So I've seen other churches, they'll have men help. We'll never have men help in the nursery here. Just not going to happen. We would rather not have a nursery than have men help in the nursery. It just ain't ever happening, right? And so it's just because of the age that we live in, and I also think there's just wisdom with that. But I want to tell you, ladies, you've been equipped. And so, you know, there was something, Melissa, you did something this morning that was so spot on. You must have read ahead and you said, I'm going to fake it this morning. No, you didn't. No, you know what you did? I love this. Sally wasn't in the sanctuary yet. And she came up to me and she said, hey, you know, where's Serena? And I said, well, I think Melissa. Melissa came and sat with Serena, right? Serena was by herself. And so this is the motherly instinct. All right, my wife asked you to do that? Well, that's awesome. Well, Melissa, way to go, Deb. Melissa. You ruined my example. I'm just teasing. But you know what I love this is I love this. You know why she came to you? Because she knew you would do it and you'd have a good spirit about it. So thank you for that. And so for my wife, where is she? Praise be. No, I'm just kidding. It is. It's good. But you know what I love is there was something she asked you because she knew you would. And you didn't hesitate. I guarantee you didn't hesitate. And you know what I love? You saw a need. So you sent, great example, you sent a woman. Women have just a gift of God. It was given to them. And I want you to know it's not less than, but God's plan, we're going to look at Titus here, is that, ladies, your ministry will specially and uniquely be to women and children. And delight in that. God, He praises that and he highlights that. Let's look at Titus chapter 2. We're going to first see some introduction and some discussions with men. But then we'll go through verse 5 and we'll stop there. But it says, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. This is Paul speaking to Titus through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He says that the aged men be sober and they be grave, they be temperate, sound in faith and charity and patience. And then it talks about the women. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness. Not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. And so I want to tell you that Titus 2, 1 Timothy, the scriptures, ladies, I want to tell you, as you think about your ministry, right? And I loved, there was some, just, I enjoyed the response. Last week, this is an easier message to preach because it's kind of got bullet points already laid out for me. Last week, I wasn't sure how the message would go. I'm so delighted. You all encouraged me. How you responded to the message and that you see ministry in God's instruction. And I think you're delighted about it. Some of you came up to me and you said you wanted to help older folks, widows, and so I love this, Don. If I can, you used the word, Don. It took me a second. I wasn't sure what that word meant at first. When you said our elderly are transparent, it kind of went over my head at first. But what you meant was they're invisible. We ignore them. We overlook them. And what we find in the scriptures is God says, don't you do that. So I loved your response. It encouraged me. Others had that response, is that when you see God's word is don't neglect them. Don't do that. And so when we see, turn back to 1 Timothy chapter 5, one of the things of widows, and I'm not saying that this has to be exhaustive. These are characteristics of godly women. It says that if she have brought up children. And so I want to tell you, for the barren woman here, for the single woman here, this still is dealing with you. And have a heart for children. Have a love for children. Disciple children. Teach children. Ladies, look around and find women that you can be a blessing to and reach out to them and teach them and nurture them and love them, and particularly children. The average person in churches today, in good churches today, the parents don't teach their kids. There's no Bible time. There's no instruction. And so, parents, every parent in here, if it was a godly woman and you would come alongside their children, they would rejoice in you instructing and teaching their children. It can be one of the greatest ministries you'd ever have if she have brought up children. I love examples, right? I love my mother-in-law. You know, she lets me, you know, make jokes about her all the time. Just good old mother-in-law jokes. But I love my mother-in-law, as long as she's not living with me. That's so terrible, but, you know, I love my mother-in-law. You know what I love about my mother-in-law? She still misses my father-in-law. She still misses him. Do you know what I love is, where is Erica and Shama and Elijah? Elijah's right here. You know why you're here today? Because my mother-in-law loves you. Did you know that? Miss Carolyn. Do you call her Miss Carolyn or Miss Terrell? Call her Miss Terrell. Miss Carolyn. Just call her. That's good. And where is Erica and Shama? I see you back there. I see that hand. You know, and it's good. You know what I love is I'm hoping over time we transform that neighborhood. I was over there helping her or trying to help her, but then Lee came to the rescue. You know, I can just kind of look there and try to look good, and Lee does all the work. So we were fixing a light over there, and right before school, all these kids came running over to my mother-in-law's house. And they hugged me, and they loved me, and then they almost missed their bus. They almost missed their bus that morning. But you know what I love is, it's the testimony that we have to live beyond ourselves. And ladies, one of the gifts God's given you, you want to be a good widow one day. Learn to love children. Learn to have a heart for them. Learn just to see a need. Learn to see a child by themselves and go sit with them. And if someone even tells you to, have a good attitude, and I know you did. And so I know this passage when it says if she have brought up children, it's a good thing. It's a wonderful thing. But I want to tell you, it is a blessing. I think every mother here, it's a God-given blessing to have children. It's a God-given privilege. And I'm not done. I'm not done, though my kids are grown and two of them live in different states. And I can't wait to go to Kansas next week. And I want to infect them just a little bit more. I want to love them, really. I want to love them. Just have a wonderful time with them, and they must be desperate. They have me coming to do handyman work, right? It'll really be me going to the hardware store for Deb, but it is. I'm not done, but ladies, I want to tell you this: if our church is going to be the kind of church that pleases Jesus Christ. We need ladies that love children. You will give the aroma of the place. You will give the safety of the place. A place where mothers will feel loved and welcomed. A place where mothers will feel like their children are cared for. A place where mothers will think, wow, these ladies are just ladies that just love children. It's a great quality of godly widows. Second one I want you to see, look at verse 10. It says, if she have loved strangers. It's really, if you allow me to, what we would call that, we would call that hospitality today. Do you know what the word hospitality means, to be hospitable? It means to be a lover of strangers. So it could have been translated, if she have loved strangers, if she had, you know, had hospitality. And so, ladies, I want to tell you this. So these are characteristics of a godly widow. So Paul, writing to Timothy, says, hey, she's well reported of. Everybody knows this woman loves Jesus. Let me tell you what. She raised her children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And when her children were done, she wasn't done with children. She's always loved children. She has them by her side. She wants to teach children because she knows this. I'll tell you, who better to teach children? I think it's ladies. I praise the Lord my family cannot find a video when I did children's chapel years ago. I love preaching to teenagers and up. Vacation Bible School is a stretch for me. They had this video of me doing children's chapel, and I was trying to relate to the kids, right? So there was some snake example, right? And the snake is representing sin, and it was a boa constrictor I was using as an illustration. And so apparently it was the most ridiculous thing anybody had ever seen. So all the adults were on the floor laughing and the kids were just in utter shock because the teacher was strangled to death and was on the floor dead. But I don't think any of the kids ever forgot that picture of sin. But I thought it was pretty good until my family mocked me forever about it. I'm so glad we don't have that video. But moral of the story, I never taught children's chapel ever again. And I know you'll think this is funny. I have fear and trepidation teaching children. And I watch our ladies. They have a gift I don't have. And it's a wonderful gift. And so they teach the children, but they're hospitable. I want you to know this, hospitality. Ladies, I want you just to think about this. I challenge people all the time. I meet people when I'm door knocking. I meet people. And when somebody tells me they're a Christian, and it seems like they're a Christian, I love to ask people this. Well, who are the lost neighbors around you? I just want to find out, what kind of Christian are you? We really haven't gotten out to meet the neighbors. How long have you lived here? 23 years. 23 years. I tell this with every single Christian. I said, God planted you here. You need to invite your neighbor over and have him for dinner. Met a guy just yesterday, door knocking. And he was cooking. And I think he was a believer. He had a great spirit. And I didn't want his food to burn. And so I said, man, are you a good cook? He said, I am a good cook. I said, well, which of your neighbors have you had over for dinner? He said, well, none, right? And so I encourage him to have his neighbors over for dinner. Ladies, be the hospitality beacon of your family. Men, we want our homes filled with people. We want our homes filled with people that we can just love on. And ladies, I will tell you this. When we have people over, I basically do nothing. My wife bears the entire burden. I've never cooked in my life. That's why the jokes about how much bologna I eat. I eat a lot of bologna. Right? I like bologna. And when Kroger's has it, you know, 5 for $5, my wife stocks up for it for 7 years. It never goes bad. It's the coolest thing about bologna. And, you know, the expiration date, you'll look at it like, whoa, 2042. Man. No preservatives in it, though. That's the good news. And so when we have people over, it is a lot of work. But I'll tell you, when we have people over, I love it. We sit back and we just say, well, how'd it go? You know, we have a lot of lost people over. And you know what I need to do? I'm just telling you what I need to do. I want to have every single person over here to my house for dinner. If I haven't had you over for dinner, would you come and tell me? And I'll put you on a list and we'll make it happen. Friday nights are hospitality night. And you know what this old boy does? Nothing. My wife bears the burden, and now we're just down to one more helper, and now she works a ton. We used to have, you know, three girls in the house. My wife and our two daughters. And man, it was an amazing machine. Pretty soon, I'm sure it's going to come down to me and like, what am I going to do? I've never done anything. Nothing. You're the hospitality woman, the lover of strangers. I invite them. You love them. But ladies, I want to tell you this. Be that. Is your home a place for strangers? That's a godly woman. That's a godly widow. Invite people over. And I'll tell you, there is a special thing with meals. There's a special thing with food. Be a lover of strangers. Lover of children, lover of strangers. Look at the third one. Well reported of for good works, if she had brought up children, if she had loved strangers, if she has washed the saints' feet. Now, we don't do that. We don't have sandals on. You have sandals on today. You would love somebody to wash your feet, but you're not walking in the dirt and grime. We have pavement, so your knees go out faster than they used to. And so, it's this, but you know, washing the saints' feet, we just went over that in John 13 on Sunday night. It is the greatest picture of humility. Because the lowest of the servants were the ones that washed the feet. A godly widow has great humility. It's what I love about a widow or a godly woman is she's not too good for anything. She washed the saints' feet. And it sounds like the kind of godly woman is, it's sort of like if you go get a pedicure, manicure, you know. I'm sure, I don't know, praise the Lord, I've never had either, and I never will. It is not manly, okay? So I don't know if I'm just, stop it, men, okay? Don't tell me you have a pedicure, okay? I mean, I don't know. Praise the Lord, I'm going to my grave without having it. But, well, I've heard about manicures and pedicures. And I'm sure there's some bad ones. So if there's a good lady that does manicures and pedicures, it probably, the word spreads, right? Sounds like the word spread with a godly widow. You ever had her wash your feet, man? It's amazing. It's just not going through the motions. You see, humility is not going through the motions. Humility says, you know what? I'll do whatever it takes to honor Jesus Christ. And if it means washing those dirty, grimy feet of believers, I'll wash their dirty, grimy feet. And you know what I love? I believe that she had a reputation. Everybody knew that she washed the saints' feet. I think it's because when she washed the saints' feet, she said, I'm going to do it with excellence. You see, not with a bad attitude. And so it's sometimes, you know, it's we try to be humble and we have an attitude about it. I don't know if that's true humility. But a godly woman, she's humble. There's nothing too far. It's one of the reasons, you know, for the nursery, right? I'm guessing. I haven't figured this out, right? If I do, I'm writing a book and it'll sell millions of copies. How to get women to love the church nursery. You know, and if it works, it'd be like, oh, wow. So I'm guessing it's got to change diapers, right? I've never changed anyone's diapers except my own kids. And I won't change my grandkids' diapers either, right? I'll look at my grandkids when they're teenagers and I'll go, respected you, my friend. It's good. But I'm not sure if that's why women don't like the nursery. Changing diapers. But you know what a godly woman does? She says, you know what? Give me that dirty diaper, you know? And I know, it's maybe some godly women are going, they're six, I think they need to be potty trained. You know? And so maybe they can help the younger women, right? But they wash the stranger's feet. They wash the saint's feet. They have great humility. Let's continue to look. It says this. It says, if she have relieved the afflicted, she's a woman of healing. I'm not talking about healing being, you know, like miraculous healing. But a godly widow is a person that says, I'm hurting. It's a woman that people say, when you're hurting, you go to them, right? Because I know this. If you say, when you're hurting, go to the Psalms, right? Be a great book to go to. But a godly woman says, when you're hurting, you need to go to so-and-so. I don't know why. She doesn't always tell me what I want to hear. But I know she loves me. She relieves the afflicted. The hurting women in our church, It's one of the reasons why I have my wife now at the invitation. I should have done it a long time ago, but I didn't have Cindy, wherever Cindy's at. Cindy joyfully plays the piano, and I thank you for that. It opens up ministry. You know, I mean, I've still got to get used to it, right? Because, you know, someone came and they were like, I was going to help them. They're like, no, I can't take it as rejection. I love it because sometimes only a woman can understand the affliction that she's going through. A godly woman, you will be a place of healing. I'm not talking supernatural. I'm just talking, yeah, it will be supernatural through the gifts God's given you. But ladies, a godly woman, one of the things is she relieves the afflicted. You're a place of healing. You're a place of encouragement. You want to be that way. So that the coolest thing is, you don't have to put a shingle out that says, I will relieve the afflicted. Every woman in this church would know it. And they would say, you know what? If you have problems, go to so-and-so. Ladies, I want to tell you, let this be aspirational for you. Let this be something that you say, you know, by God's grace, in 5 years, I want some women to know that I care. I want to be a place of healing. I want to relieve the afflicted. I want to be a place where people will say, that they may not get what they want to hear, but they're going to get tenderness, they're going to get love, and they're going to get wisdom and instruction from the Word of God. Ladies, that is a godly woman that relieves the afflicted. Let's continue to look in verse 10. It says that she has relieved the afflicted if she have diligently followed every good work. The word I picked for that, if she had diligently followed every good work, she's disciplined. She's disciplined. You know, if you think of a godly woman, she's followed every good work. Not so that she might be saved. There's no work that'll save us. But you know the distinction of a true believer. The distinction of a true believer says, I want to honor Jesus. But the difference between a believer with intention and a believer with discipline is the one that says, I want to do that, and I will, by God's grace, do it. It takes discipline. It takes a determination. It takes a heartfelt commitment before God and surrounding yourself with His Word and surrounding yourself with love of others that will cause you to be a disciplined woman. Now, I want to tell you, this is a godly woman. And now, I'm going to quickly, for lack of time, you want to be a woman. And let me tell you this. These are the women that our church ought to help. If there's a need and they have no family, or let's just make sure of this. We aren't playing this game here. We will not reject the widow that meets these qualifications. And no one's ever going to meet them perfectly. So we're not at this standard. Because this is a high bar. Is this not a high bar? It's a high bar. I'm not trying to make it impossible so that we don't have to help anybody. Nor am I saying this. I'm not saying that we wouldn't help people. If they got scallywag children that won't help them, that's effectively widows indeed spiritually. We're not going to say, well, you got kids, that's just because they're losers. Well, if they're losers, then let's not be losers with them. We will help them. You see, God's not trying to set up rules. He's trying to set up principles for us, right? And so we ought to be a church that fosters godly women, fosters godly widows. And people know this. I want you to know this. We're here to help. We don't want people to crash and burn. We don't want you to crash and burn spiritually. We don't want you to crash and burn in this life. Now, we're not a huge church, but I'll tell you this, if we aren't faithful in the little things, why would God give us greater things? We've got to be faithful. So when I tell you these things, this isn't for us to go, ain't nobody qualifies here, so saved you some money, preacher. No. Get rid of the money. Help people. Help people. But ladies, I want you to be encouraged. This is the target. Lover of children, lover of strangers. You have humility. You're just a place of encouragement and healing. And you're disciplined about your walk with Jesus Christ. That will please God. If you wonder, what do I want to be when I grow old? That would be a great target for you. Now let's quickly, and since it's more negative, let's look at the evil widows. Look at this first. In verse 11, and I'll go through this more quickly. It's this, but the younger widows refuse, for when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry, having damnation because they have cast off their first faith. They reject Christ. They pursue pleasure. Pleasure is their priority. They reject Christ. Understand this. I say it so often. You cannot please God until you get right with Him through His Son, Jesus Christ. Without faith, you cannot please Him. So you could strive to have all those other qualities, ladies. And do you know this? There are lost ladies that love children. I'm not saying that lost ladies, to the best of their ability, they love children. There are lost ladies that are humble. There are lost ladies that are hospitable. There are lost ladies that are disciplined in their lives. But I'm telling you, they cannot please God without Christ. Never forget that. Jesus is the starting point of all things. If you reject Christ, now here's the saddest part. There is some indication here, isn't there, that says they become widows. And so they were just going on the coattails of their husband. I wish our men would lead spiritually. Sadly, in the 21st century, I see more women leading spiritually. Men, be gentle, be kind, be loving, but lead. But I want to ask some of the ladies, since this is dealing with widows, are you just following? Because that's what your husband does? If your husband passed away, you became a widow? Would you stick with the stuff? Would you serve Jesus? Would you honor Him? Are you in just because, you know, it just helps peace. It just kind of, we get along and I do whatever He says. Oh, ladies. You've got to have a personal relationship with Christ. Do you love Him personally and individually? I hope our men lead. But if you're just following your man and not Christ, the reality is it might come out when he dies. Most men are going to die before women. That's why Gerald mentioned this, and there is a care for widowers. Do you know this? The Bible doesn't say anything about widowers. Isn't that interesting? It's just because historically men always are taken care of. Historically, the abused ones. But Gerald, the principle is still the same. We better take care of our dads and our moms, right? That's not the message of God's Word. But what he's dealing with is the area of neglect with this sinful nature that we have, this flesh that we have. Evil widows reject Christ. Secondly, and I'll move quickly, it's the Bible says this, and with all they learn to be idle. They reject work. All they want to do is, they don't want to work hard, they just want to be idle. I'm telling you this, idle time is a curse. Parents, you should keep your kids so busy that they can't think about sin. That's why farms are good. A lot of weeds. I should come to your house and be like, whoa! Who mows your grass? My kids do every other day. That's cool. My grass was mowed a lot more often when I had Josh. It looked good. Get with it. I've told you this, man. I mean, our house was cleaner. My wife doesn't like this. I think I told this story recently. Like when I had my kids clean the bathroom, the first time Josh cleaned the bathroom, I lifted up the lid and I said, lick the bowl. And you're like, I can't believe you do that. He said, Dad, no way. I said, then clean it again until you can lick it. Oh, you've got to be kidding me. What else does he have to do anyway?
I want to go play a game.
Dumb, right? And so I wanted to teach my kids to do it well, but idle time. And here's an evil woman. Never wants to work for God. Just wants all kinds of time. And when you have idle time, if you don't fill that time with eternal things, it will turn evil. Can any Christian disagree with that? I want to ask this question. Does any Christian disagree with that? If you don't fill your idle time with eternal things, every Christian in here, your idle time will turn to sin. Is there anyone that disagrees with that? I knew you guys wouldn't raise your hand no matter, even if you disagreed. So everybody agrees. Here's the point. If you have idle time, fill it with eternal things. I know that happens. You know, so Leon, we pray and trust Sherry's going to be okay. I know you've always said, you know, but I know you're not so sure now. You almost want her to go home to be with the Lord first, so that you can take care of her. If that happens, Leon, fill your idle time with eternal things. Because Leon, even at 80, you know this, idle time can be a curse, can't it? And so ladies, serve and work for the Lord. When the kids are grown, take that idle time and say, how do I take this extra time and make it eternal? Make it eternal. If you don't, they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house. It says wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers and busybodies. They infect others negatively. Infect others negatively. Ladies, if you want to be an evil woman, you want to be an evil widow, you affect others negatively. Let me help you understand this. So I'll even give you the next point. Affect others negatively. Gossip and busybodies. They kind of interact there and cross over one another. But it's this. Ladies, I want you to think about your speech. Why would you tell other people negative things about somebody else? Why would you talk negatively about anything? Let's say it's true. Just because it's true doesn't mean you should say it. You know, I mean, if you think I'm as ugly as a backyard barn, right? That may be true, right? No one's ever come up to me in my church and goes, no, little kids have. You know, I mean, today they said, wow, you're tall. I'm so glad they didn't say, boy, that's the biggest nose I've ever seen in my life. You know, and so it's, okay, I got a big nose. I need to be thankful for it. You know, why? I'm still not sure. I may need extra cartilage in my knee later, and right here it is, man. It's got extra. And so it's this, even if it's true doesn't mean it has to be said. Ladies, I want you to think about your speech with other ladies. Is it uplifting? Is it encouraging? Is it just... It's what happens is idle time. Idle time. You run here, you run there, you're infecting others negatively. These are the evil people. Don't be these people. And if you are a gossip, you know what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to work on that. It's not just going to go, oh God, help me not to be a gossip. Oh wow, I'm not a gossip. You know, I mean, I wish I could say, God, I would like to look like a man that can bench 350 pounds, 10 reps. Amen. I'm not sure if you heard me, but there's a responsibility on our part. If you are a gossip and you want to stop, you have to discipline yourself. Years ago, I think I've told you this story before. I love to tell stories the way I learned is, and I'm going to tell a story the best I can, and I'm not trying, and sometimes, you know, I try not to, but it can still be a weakness. If I catch myself, and I had to do this years ago, if I caught myself adding to the story, the best way to be is to go, you know what? That's not true. And it's so humbling. You know, ladies, if you catch yourself in gossip, you know what it'll help you stop faster than anything. If you begin to gossip and you go, you know what? That's not going to help you. Would you please forgive me? And ladies, I want to tell you that there's got to be a place for some of our ladies to go, hey, you know, I love you, but I'm not sure if that's really healthy for us to talk about. You know, there's a place gently, I don't want this to be a place of war, but there's a place where there's wisdom and kindness, because you know what we don't want to be? We don't want to be a place that says, man, those people talk about everybody. Because ladies, imagine this. If you go up to somebody and are talking negatively about them, they automatically think you're talking negatively about somebody else, they think you're talking negatively about them later. It's just who you're around. Don't be those kind of women. Don't be those kind of women that are just house to house, whatever you can be. And then look at this. It says in verse 13, speaking things which they ought not. I said that they affect others, but their speech is poison. Their speech is poison. I want you to think about this. When you interact with people, are you killing them or are you helping them? Remember, we talked about a godly woman. She was healing. She would help those that are afflicted. They could come to her. Oh, it's refreshing, right? And I think some of you, you know, you have asthma. And I've never had an inhaler, but I'm imagining this. When you take your inhaler, do you feel better? You can finally breathe. Is that the impact? Somebody shake their head, you know, take an inhaler, okay? That's good. You know what it'd be like? It'd be like this. Ladies, you don't want to be someone that your speech is poison. You want to be like your speech is an inhaler. Oh, thank you. I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to breathe easily. Ladies, you don't, and here's the thing. You know, it's alcohol is poison and it just kills you slowly, right? Ladies, don't be like alcohol and kill people slowly. You know, be a bomb, a B-A-L-M. I know it's, you know, a bomb, B-O-M-B. That was actually written on my car. Steve is a bomb. And I was like, it's funny. Just this week, it was weird. And, but it's all good. It's all good. It was good. It was good. So, it's lady, be a place of healing. Don't be a place of poison. So here's the simple message today. Ladies, if Hope Baptist Church wants to be a place that we honor the Lord, yes, the Lord's plan is this, that we men need to lead. But ladies, there's things you do we can never do. There's ministries that you should have that we can never fill. I will tell you, my ministry is primarily to men and to couples. And when I have a ministry to a woman, it's going to be with my wife. It's not just because of the testimony thing. That is part of it, that I won't meet with a woman alone. But it's the realization of this. Deb is more sensitive, more tender, more understanding to a woman's needs than I am. I grew up with two sisters and a mom. I have two daughters and a wife. But I'm not ready to write a book yet. But my wife, she can see a woman and see things I don't see. Two different ways for women to deal with it. A lot of times my kids, I'd be like, suck it up. And Deb would put an arm around them. I never remember this. When my kids stubbed their toe, they didn't go, Dad! It was, Mom! Because women have a gift. Ladies, don't take this message to be discouraging. Take this message to say, what do I want to be in 10 years? Set your sights on what you want to be. Put that in your prayer list. And then pursue it. Be a woman that other women want to be like. Be a woman that has a great report of God's people and of the lost.